NYPD Blue Balls, Season 1, Episode 13, Abandondo, Abandoned. We opened up, and Greg Medavoy is at Abandondo's place.
Yeah, really awkwardly, too.
He just shows up, and he basically goes, "Hey, how are you?" And then it's like, "Oh, I'm great. I'm in a bathrobe naked." And he goes...
Watching the Rangers.
And then he just drops the knowledge so quickly. Yeah, I moved out of my house, and I left my wife.
Because I want to fuck you.
But that's the thing that's weird about Medavoy, because Medavoy is such a dog, purely anxiety-driven, befuddled dude.
Yeah, he's stepping out of his zone a little bit.
So he basically tells her, "Look, man, I left my wife because I feel we're just not with it anymore, and I have these feelings for you." And then she basically just strips off, and then all the blood rushes to his wiener because he can't speak.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because he goes... Ob, and she's like, "Ob," and he's like, "Oh boy." Like, he's like a 10-year-old kid.
Some of the writing at the beginning is really dumb, and that's one of the lines, I think, but, I mean, good for him. I mean, he's definitely going up.
We meet his wife much later, right? Much, much later.
You meet her, I think, in season 2.
But he basically is like, "I left my wife and kids. I'm so bad. I'm hung up about it. And I don't even know if you're interested." And she goes, "I'm interested." He lays the most awkward kiss on her.
Kirk, you're just being so nonchalant about the fact. He's like, "Oh, yeah, I left my wife and kids."
No, but no.
He basically says, "I left my wife and kids because your veg is so powerful. I wanted to break up my family." Basically, you're the reason my daughters are going to become strippers. It's because I'd rather break up the family dynamic.
No.
They get a chance to fuck you instead.
They try so hard to make it seem like he's doing it for good reasons. He's doing it because he doesn't feel the same way about his wife anymore, and his wife doesn't seem to care. But then the rest of the episode, the thing of the episode is, he finds out that his kids' lives are really affected by it. And he can't do it to his whole family.
But that was my kind of question. Did he not know that by leaving it was going to affect his kids' lives? Because he acts surprised by it.
Yeah, and then at the end of the episode when he talks to Abandondo, he's like, "Oh, well, I'm going to have to get back with my wife. She said we'll work it out." And then she basically, that's the funny part of the episode to me, is Abandondo says, "Look, I was messing around with a married man once. He was a ranger, yeah. And I swore never again."
I'm never again doing that.
So basically, they're not together at the end of the episode, which is kind of a weird, just detour in the lives of Greg Medavoy and Abandondo.
Yeah.
They just had, a fling, and now he's going to go back to his wife. And he even goes, "Look, I don't want you to think that I did this just to get in your pants." Which, it looks exactly like what he did. No matter...
Well, I don't think it was. I think you were right.
No, it isn't. It just looks so conveniently like that, but that's not the case. He's too, goody-two-shoes to do that.
But we also get something that I think's really random. Mm. And that's, a new character.
Yeah.
And they immediately murder her husband.
They introduce a character just to murder her husband. They go, "Hi, this is LaSalle." He's like, "Oh, John Kelly really speaks highly of you." He's like, "Oh, I think highly of John Kelly." He's like, "Can I just bring my husband to lunch?"
And then Sipowicz is like, "I think really highly of her husband. He's Danny DeLuca." He says something along the lines. He's like, "Is she the real deal?" And he's like, and Kelly's like, "Yeah, she is." And he's just like, "She better be if she's like Danny DeLuca's wife."
And then they go to lunch.
He's obviously not that good of a police officer because he got shot.
Well, he got shot. I mean, I don't know if we should talk. Basically, LaSalle comes in. She's from Special Victims. She meets everybody, and then she goes to lunch with her husband, and then a robbery takes place.
Do you think she trained Mariska Hargitay's character?
Mariska Hargitay? No, I don't. I don't think there's crossover.
That was her, mentor.
But I do think she trained Ice Cube.
Ice tea.
Oh, damn it. I'm sorry. I don't remember the individual.
It's okay, you just woke up.
I don't remember the individual ices. Anyway, they go to lunch, and then a robbery breaks off, and they immediately go into cop mode. But Danny DeLuca comes out and immediately points his gun at the black guy in the car.
Yes.
Not the actual robbers, and gets shot.
Thank you. That's the first thing I thought about was...
Is it racist? Yeah, is it racist that he comes outside and goes, oh, there's a robbery taking place? Black guy in a car. It has to be him.
So then he gets shot in the back like 6 times.
LaSalle, they have that like very sad moment where LaSalle's like calling an ambulance and people are...
But it's so weird. Like, why bring in this character and then immediately like murder her husband?
It's just to get a dramatic, insane plot twist into your show, but not affect your other characters because they're already dealing with their own shit.
So what I thought the first time I saw this is the reason they brought her in and they have this thing happen and then Kelly talks to the boys was going to set up, like, later on her fucking Kelly. You know, like, that was gonna, I thought that was going to happen. But can we talk about who LaSalle is? LaSalle is the lady from Sister Act.
She's also
really quiet.
A famous, famous faces. I need to look up her name. The reason that her face immediately jumps out at me is not only Sister Act, Kyle, but Air Bud.
It's Wendy McKenna.
Yeah, if you look into her known fors, it's Sister Act.
She did a lot more than just that. She did 8 Men Out. She did Sister Act 2, Air Bud. She was on Rizzoli and Isles. She's done some NCIS. She's like a good character actor. But
Do any of those movies or television shows feature a dog playing basketball, Kyle?
But I know her from Sister Act. That's where I know her from.
It was a real bummer that she didn't show up for Golden Receiver.
Anyway, so her husband dies, which gives us a chance to see Kelly, like, lay it on thick with the boys, because he lost his dad.
Oh, yeah, with the little boys.
Yeah, and he's like, buddies.
Yeah, we're buddies.
A little pedophile-y, because he was like, you know, buddies, whisper tough again. Buddies, stay in touch. Come on, guys. Buddies hug.
Well,
it was like super, super pedophile-y. But
there was—I don't know who it was. It was some comedian on a different podcast or somebody. Like our culture, like our in the state of the country that we're in, pedophilia is like at the forefront of our minds because of the scandal with the Catholic Church. Like all these random celebrities, you come to find out they're pedophiles. So, like, when we see anything like that, our immediate thought is, like, okay.
Did you just hear that, like, a dude that was once the Speaker of the House just got arrested for, like, child pornography? Or
yeah,
child
exactly, yeah. So
politicians, too.
So, it's, like, the second he, like, gets down to their level and he's like, I'll take care of the kids, and she goes to cry for a minute because she lost her husband.
And they're all Catholic. Most cops are Catholic back then.
Well,
they're
most
all, like,
New
Irish
York,
and shit.
New York cops, I would say. Yeah. Polish, Sipwitz, Polish guy. What's her name? Kostas. She's straight up Greek Orthodox.
Yeah, she's just a weirdo though. Her that religion's weird.
that one's weird. That Greek Orthodox nonsense.
Nah, I don't get that shit at all.
That spurs a manhunt because that guy's a former cop.
And, yeah. So as the guy's falling, as the guy's going down, he says, "I got the first 3 letters of the license plate."
Mm-hmm.
So it gets back to the station. They're working on it. But then as that's happening, this drunk lady comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And Sipowicz says, "Hey, John, it's your favorite sauce head."
Yeah, I can't remember her name. She's really annoying.
Yeah, because she's coming in to try to get her husband arrested for beating her up.
That woman.
She's a super alcoholic.
That woman comes up on the show 2 more times as different characters, too.
Yeah.
She comes in, and she's obviously drunk, and she's given a sob story about how her husband hits her. But no one seems to care, so you're like, okay, well, then what's this about? I mean, it's obviously a woman who is being beaten by her husband. And then, basically, Kelly and Sipowicz go... Well, no, Sipowicz doesn't even talk to her. But Kelly basically says, look, are you going to actually charge him and then let it go to a hearing? Because every time we do this, you fill out a complaint, and then you don't go through with it, and we end up in the same position. So you come to find out, like, oh, it's not like they don't care, it's just she's wasted enough of their time. They, like, it's the boy who cried wolf, like, they're just done dealing with this woman. So they let
yeah.
it, they're like, we're just gonna let
and
it go.
Doesn't Kelly say, like, okay, let's go get him? No, that's later.
That's later, that's
he
a
says,
later.
Let's go get him, and she's like, no.
Don't get him at
he's
work.
He's at work. Yeah, and Kelly's like, if we're doing this, we're doing this. Which, I mean, I get, like, keep wasting your time. if somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
if someone doesn't want to help themselves, eventually you got to ask yourself, am I helping them by wasting all this time, or am I just wasting time?
Like, especially if she's enabling everything by being an alcoholic too.
Yeah, exactly.
So then this band's a manhunt and they find him.
Well, they find the driver, I think.
Yeah, and there's a shootout in his apartment.
And Kelly and Sipowicz pull an interrogation in an alley inside the car, where Sipowicz kind of puts on gloves and digs into his bullet wound.
Yeah, and keeps giving him shit for not saying anything.
And that's another thing that, like, when you watch now through the lens of police brutality, you're like, oh, no, this wouldn't fly now at all.
Yeah, but if it was,
terrorism?
If it was your wife that was shot, how would you feel then?
Well, I mean, it's a different situation. Obviously, people, when it's in direct relation to them, they have more personal anger towards the problem. However, if you're talking about a television show that would be on TV, and they pull this guy into an alley, and then Sipowicz basically is like, oh, I'll just pull it out of you right now, rather than go to the hospital, because he has information on a cop killer, it wouldn't fly today at all.
But he would have never really pulled it out. The point is to get it to where he gives it up before it hurts, so...
But it already did hurt, obviously, for the way the guy was freaking out. But that's a discussion for a later date.
Yeah.
So they get, like, the name of this kid, and they start looking for him. And then we got another famous face who shows up at the squad room.
Mm-hmm.
I have his name. Norman Gardner is the name of the character.
Yeah, he's like a gossip columnist, TV show, like a TMZ type guy.
And he comes into the office and he basically is like, can I speak to Fancy? I'm not going to waste his time because I don't waste mine. He's a fast talker. Obviously, everybody in the squad hates him except for Abbandando because she doesn't realize like what a piece of shit he is when all the other... cops are like, oh, he's just here to suck blood to get some money out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he sits down with Fancy, and he basically says, hey, I want to bring him into the station.
Yeah, he has the guy, and he's brokering a deal because he wants some publicity out of it.
And he basically says, like...
They kind of, in a weird way, show that media people don't really care about the outcome. They just kind of care about what they can get from it.
Yeah, exactly.
He puts it under the guise that he wants to help this guy out, but it's more about getting the publicity and, like, bringing him into the station. Like, Fancy's like, you can drop him off outside. He's like, no, I want to bring him in.
His name's Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, he was the villain in Billy Madison.
For people who like more recent movies, he was also in Cabin in the Woods. He was one of the guys in the control room, if you've seen that movie. Very funny. And, you know, he's been stuff here and there. Because the guy comes in and he has all these demands, like, I want to walk him through the entire booking process, I want to film it.
Yeah.
And then Fancy's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, Fancy's like, Fancy basically kind of looks over and goes, blow me. Because Fancy basically can say, like, I'm going to hold you here impeding an investigation until you tell me where he is, or I'll just put you in jail instead, and then you'll have to tell me. So Fancy doesn't have to give him shit.
No.
Really.
No.
If he doesn't want to.
So then the guy basically starts begging for whatever he can get. So then Fancy's like, you are allowed to bring a camera crew inside the station and hand him over to the detectives who are running the case.
But I think Bradley Whitford's character knew that. And I think he went for the moon and then got whatever he could get type thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He highballed them super high, knowing that... Because any reporter worth any kind of salt knows he's not...
Worth his salt. Any, you know, newsie out there on the beat.
Getting those stories, Kyle. When I was a junior reporter for the Daily Planet...
When you were a junior reporter.
When I was a junior reporter for the Daily Planet, and then this alien destroyed my office, I thought to myself...
Oh, shit. I just got the Superman reference. I'm sorry. That was funny. That was my bad. That was funny, though.
What were we even talking about? Oh, he was bringing him into the station. He was highballing him. I know I'm not going to be able to do that much, but if I pester him enough, I'll be able to get inside the squad room. But I don't think he really, like, got really what he wanted, because all the questions he asked were not answered. He looked like a total dick in the video, like, at least by my standard.
But he also made the cops look bad, because they wouldn't even answer, you know, questions. But he's also going off of not really giving all the info of what happened. There's, like, falsehoods on both sides, I guess you could say.
Because he said the phrase, didn't you tell him that his life would be less at risk in the station than on the street? Is that a threat? And, like, random things like that.
Yeah.
But then, eventually, he's asking all these questions, and then Sipowicz comes down and says, nobody said anything about your safety, so how about you get out of here, you sucked enough blood today. And yeah. I think that moment right there just proves, like, oh, this guy's the dickhead. Because they're trying to do their job, and this guy's in the way.
Yeah, Sipowicz hates the press, too. It's kind of funny.
Sipowicz don't like shit that fucks with his cases, man.
What I find weird about bringing LaSalle in, it seems like they're bringing her in for more than just one episode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they immediately kill her husband, and then she's like, oh, I'm going to take some leave. You know, I'm going to take some time off because my husband was killed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why did you bring her in? couldn't you have killed her husband in, like, the next episode?
That's the unfortunate thing is, like, you have this character that you're going to add to the show. Like, obviously, she gets introduced. She has a desk. Like, she's going to be a part of the crew in some way. And then immediately go, yeah, well, she's not going to be around for, like, three episodes. Or two episodes, because her husband just died. It's one of the funny lines. They're downstairs with the reporter. And then the reporter says, hey, you guys are doing the case. I appreciate what you do. It's just your guys' time in the barrel, blah, blah, blah. Trying to act like he gives a shit.
No, I think, that's where I differ with you a little bit. I don't think he was being totally jerky there. Because I think when he gets on screen, it's a performance. You know what I mean? Like, in a weird way. It's kind of his, I don't know how to say it, but it's kind of his, like, his play, his movie character. It's a character that he plays, and that's what he does, and he kind of plays that douchey guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was being sincere, saying, hey, like, it's just, tomorrow it'll be somebody else, today it's you. It's just how it is. That's the way I took that, but...
The line that proves that that's not true is he goes, hey, if you want to take a picture with me for your families, which is kind of like, fuck you, why would I want to take a picture with you? Like, you're making my day harder for no reason. I think that's the moment where you realize, oh, he's just a piece of shit. Because what kind of asshole really fucks up these guys' day to find a dude that killed someone and then go, oh, do you want to take a picture with me? I mean, I am on TV and you guys are just cops. I think that was the line.
Okay. I can see that.
And I also could see that he fed that line to the guy. He's like, I'm going to bring the guy in, and then there's lights and there's cameras and such.
Yeah.
And he goes...
It gets really weird. It gets really, like...
Political and stupid.
The way they're filming it is it gets really handheld camera-y, black and white. Like,
yeah, it's...
It was really weird.
But the guy comes in, and he goes, I'm a scapegoat. Like, they needed someone that's poor and white, and I fit the bill, and they don't give a shit about me, and it was like, what? Like, you shot a cop, and, like, they're pretty sure it's you. Like,
that was my favorite part. I'm poor and white. It's like, dude, you're white, though, so you're better off than most people. Like,
well, we've introduced a new female character.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's our duty, as we go through the series, to play
that's
a little...
Right. Okay.
Play a little MFK.
Okay.
And I don't know, like, when we first toyed with the idea of doing this show, I wrote down two different lists after this episode. First one was Abbandando, Costas, and LaSalle. Mary...
Lacalcy?
No, LaSalle, the new girl.
Abbandando, Costas, LaSalle.
Mary... Fuck. Kill.
Mary Costas.
I mean, there's no shock there.
Kill LaSalle. And then, with Abbandando.
I love how
I feel bad for LaSalle's kids.
Yeah, but you don't want to be no dad.
It's just like, it's just out of all of them, she's in third place. It's kind of a bummer.
Alright.
Wait, if I marry Costas, does she still get... Oh, we can't talk about that yet.
And then I got another one with LaSalle. How about LaCalcy, Kelly's wife?
LaSalle?
Yeah, and LaSalle. LaCalcy?
Oh, kill LaCalcy. Hands down.
Kelly's wife and LaSalle.
Mary LaSalle.
And just bone.
She seemed like she had, like, could keep a relationship. Kelly's wife couldn't. She's, like, crazy. She's too needy. Like, you see how needy she is sometimes? Like, even in these episodes, I think there's an episode, the next couple episodes, you see her neediness come out.
Well, she needs that John Kelly, Kyle. She needs that John Kelly in her life, you know what I'm saying?
I guess. I mean, if you like orange popsicles, I guess.
Let me see. Is there anything else that happened today?
No, but I think we covered that episode.
The main feature of the episode was really the side boob out of Abundando. I like.
That was the main episode was Greg left his wife, and then it kind of didn't really work out.
And of course, the woman at her new job, her husband dies first day.
Yeah, dies that day. And like, who gets a job the first day and then has the balls to go, "Hey, my husband's gonna come in like 10 minutes and take me out to breakfast"?
No, it was lunch. And she asked,
"Or lunch, and you need to be cool with that."
She didn't say it like that. She asked.
I know, but it's like, who has the balls to do that? It's your first day.
But it's from what I understand, he's a very well-respected guy in that department. Everybody knows who he is. That's why they freak out once he gets shot. And this is also, I mean, this goes back to my theory, and it's a running theory throughout the show, that the cops work harder and they go harder when the victim is one of their own.
Yeah. But,
That woman later comes back, I forget her name, the drunk woman?
The drunk woman. Well, the drunk husband comes back.
And he
has a videotape, and he's like, "Watch this, Detective Kelly, she's a bitch, she starts fights." And then Kelly dismisses it, and then she comes back all fucking crazy, and then she admits to stabbing her husband with a screwdriver?
Was it a screwdriver? Didn't she cut herself, too?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think she came in.
Stabbed somebody.
I think she came in and she had slices on her arms. And then Kelly basically goes like, "Okay, let's talk about it." And they talk about it. And then she basically goes like, "Yeah, he hurt me. So then I got a knife and I stabbed him and I killed him." And LaSalle's kind of losing her mind because she just lost her husband. And she would never, like, I think that was kind of the foil to that losing your husband story. Was she lost her husband because he was, I mean, trying to be a nice guy, but he only put his gun on the black guy in a possible robbery. And she stabbed her husband because they're drunks and they don't know how to communicate or just end their shitty relationship.
Fair enough.
But what I love, I watched this robbery scene twice where the husband gets shot. And we touched on it a little bit, but she sees the robbery happen from where she's sitting in the restaurant. She's watching it through, and his back is to the robbery. She kind of, like, perks up, kind of like a dog who hears, like, somebody's coming home. And she sees what looks like the makings of a robbery. Guys pull up, got masks on and guns. They run into the room. And she basically tells the owner of the place, "Get 911 on the phone." She starts talking to him, and her husband goes outside.
Yeah, he is a shitty cop.
Yeah, that was like the worst way to handle that situation.
He had no idea, like he knew nothing.
He knew absolutely nothing about what was happening.
He didn't know what any of the perps looked like. He went straight for someone who was black and they're all white.
And he, like, basically this guy, and it sucks because he left his job as a cop to be like head of security at some university, like a cush job that probably pays better.
No, Kirk, not just any university, the university.
Oh, because they don't say that it's at a university.
That's what they keep saying, the university.
It's at the university, the Technical Houston Expressway University. Get it? The. But he basically, it shows that it's a good thing he retired, because I don't want that dude ripping runs and stopping bad guys. He just...
Yeah, and did he look super old?
He did look a little old. But
like, he looked like he was in his 60s, but they were talking like they were getting ready to retire, but their kids are like 4 and 6.
But this show does that a lot. Like, there are a couple episodes in the future where it's just old dudes with younger looking women, and it doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
So, any final thoughts as we close up season 1, episode 13, besides side boob?
Yeah, no, not really. Like, this episode actually gave, like, a secondary character more of the runtime. Like, he was more of the focal point of the episode, I feel like. So,
yeah, he's
it was cool.
He's
it was whatever. I mean, Metavoids got lucky, I guess.
There was one thing that happened. Heavyweight acting moment. This woman who just joined the show has to pull this scene where she goes into the room with the guy that killed her husband. And she grabs the picture of the kids. And he's like, "Oh, you see this? You used to recognize that? That was the man that you shot the other day. And you took him away from his children. You took away the father of their children." And she's like fighting through tears and stuff. And I was like, wow, like, she just got here.
Yeah, she gets all up in his face. Like, and it makes him feel bad.
Like, it's almost like they're going for, like, not so much Simone death, but they're going for, like almost Andy's son's death. But we don't know anything about her husband or her kids, you know?
Yeah, it was weird. I just don't understand why bringing someone in...
just to kill
off... just to kill off their husband. You know what I meant?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. This has been NYPD Blue Balls on the AsherBrothersPodcast.com, where you can go there to see all the episodes. We're on Asher Bros Pod on Twitter.
We're .com. We're .com'd up.
Oh, wait. Kyle, AsherBrothersPodcast.com has existed since the beginning. Since the beginning of the show, almost.
I didn't know we were .com'd up.
Oh, we're .com'd up, Kyle. We're .com'd up. And then, if you have the time and the ability, it'd be really cool if you went to iTunes and rated and reviewed, because that's how people see podcasts on the main screen of iTunes. And it would be nice to let other people know that there are two random dudes from California talking about NYPD Blue for seemingly no reason, other than it being...
Hey, if you guys have suggestions for Kirk to be better at his job, leave them.
Oh, wow. I mean, wow, thank you.
I'm killing it, so...
Thank you. And, Kyle, do you have anything to recommend?
No.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.